Okay, now that's out of the way. Chapter 15. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, not the Jeroboam, Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, became king. He was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Only the high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and burned incenses on the high places. I sure hope everybody's starting to get a feel for this, that after all this time, there are always those things in our lives that we are not willing to give up. The things we hide behind our back because they do something for our flesh. There's something about them. I'll give you everything, Lord, but this. In the south, it's this. In the north, it's those two golden calves that they just can't shake. No matter how good they do, they have our, well, few guys show up and take care of it. But anyway, the Lord struck down the king, so that he was a leper to the day of his death. And he lived in a separate house while Jotham, the king's son, was over his household, judging the people of the land. This is interesting because it's much richer over in Chronicles why this happens. If you don't read Chronicles, it just sounds like he did the Lord's will and then the Lord struck him with leprosy. Thanks, God. And no, there's a lot more to this. And also, take note that while he's there, his son is ruling. This answers a lot of the questions. I doubt if anyone here is actually doing the genealogy and ciphering the years. You know, because this tells us this person became king this year, he went 22 years, and it's everywhere, and it matches up with that. Well, sometimes those numbers don't match up exactly because of this co-regency. Then half about this time in this book is where they start using the first year after he's in as the first year, and there's all kinds of there's reasons for everything, and right here you could see part of it. There's a co-regent. Yes, he did that many years, but they'll say his son reigned for this many years just because they were both reigning. So just as a heads up, some if anybody should ever do the math and say this doesn't add up, this is why. It does add up. It's just their way of doing it doesn't make sense to us all the time. So the Second Chronicles account, where they call him Uzziah, Azariah. Okay. It says this. But he became strong. His heart was so proud that he acted corruptly. Okay. If you will remember, I spent 4 or 5 weeks talking about pride, and pride is the problem. There is no problem but pride. All problems fall from pride, and pride is the only thing we're really fighting. And that's what we're here for, to be humbled. So this guy who's doing well has a problem, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God for, and this is what he did, this is why he got leprosy, he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. He's not allowed to do that. That's the priest. Then Azariah the priest entered after him, with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. So the priest confronts the king, which is an extremely dangerous thing to do. The king has an army, you don't. They opposed Uzziah, the king, and said, "It's not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God." But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priest, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest of the house beside the altar of the incense. Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him and beheld he was so leprous, he was leprous on his forehead. They hurried him out of there, and he himself also hastened to get out because the Lord had smitten him. King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death. He lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was king over the king's house and judging the people of the land. That's what happened. He had the chance to leave, and he refused. I believe at that point, he could have been forgiven, but when he became enraged at the priest basically willing to fight with them, the Lord just settled it that simply. Now, the rest of the acts of Azariah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Jotham his son became king in his place. As a reference, I'm not going to read it, but Isaiah 6, 1 through 13, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, well, maybe I will read it, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling his temple. This is a vision. Just to give you a frame of reference, once again, we see these as all separate events. The prophets that are coming now are all writing prophets. from this point on, after Elijah. These are guys who are writing to the nation. Isaiah, when you from now on, when you read the book of Isaiah, I want you to think this is what's going on. Because he has this vision, and he connects it to what just happened to the death of Uzziah. And he has this beautiful vision, which is actually a song. You know, it was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And I guess I'm not going to read it, but it's worth reading 6:1-13. And it's talking about when this guy dies, he has this vision from God, and it basically tells him the end is coming for Israel. And he talks about the grandeur of God and the spectacle of God. And it says, he touched my mouth with, said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity was taken away. God comes to him and he says, I am ruined because you've come to me. He says, I am a man of unclean lips. I have lived among people with unclean lips. And the Lord, and the seraphim goes over and takes this burning coal and puts it on his lips and says, your sins have been taken away. You know, God, the humility of Isaiah saying, I can't be in your presence. I can't even hear the message you want me to give because I'm unclean. And God says, I make you clean, which is a foreshadowing of all of our lives. God makes you clean. But he admits it first, you know, that repentance. In there is something beautiful. And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here I am. Send me. And there will come a point in time in your life where God will ask you and you'll have to answer that question. He said, go tell the people. Keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. This is what he said to tell the people. It's not what he's telling him. Render the hearts of the people insensitive, their ears dull and their eyes dim, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. Then the Lord said, how long? He answered, until cities are devastated without inhabitants, houses are without people, and the land is utterly desolated. For the Lord has removed men far away, and forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. Yet there will be a tenth portion in it, and it will again be subject to burning like the tamarind through the oak, whose stump remains in the field, the holy seed, its stump. This is all about to happen. Isaiah writes this in the book of Isaiah at this time where we just read in 1 Kings, and what God is saying right then and there when this king dies and Jotham comes on the throne is the end is near. Not just for Israel, who will go first, but for Judah. And what he says is, I'm done. The time is here. I'm not even trying to get them to repent anymore. It's time to deal with it. And that time is here. And this is Isaiah's job. It's all, big things are happening. Verse 8, back to Kings. In the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, became king over Israel and Samaria for 6 months. Zechariah was the fourth and final generation of Jehu that was promised by God. When Jehu was up there, he said four generations. Well, he made it 6 months. He was there. That's from 2 Kings 10:30, the promise. He did evil in the sight of the Lord as his fathers had done. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he had made Israel sin. And every time it says that, think of those two golden calves. That's the sin they didn't depart from. They didn't use the temple. They made their own way of doing this. Then Shalom, the son of Jabesh, conspired against him and struck him before the people and killed him and reigned in his place. The Assyrian records call Shalom son of nobody, which indicates that he had no royal lineage. He was just a guy that seized the throne, killed him, and took over. Now the rest of the acts of Zechariah, behold, are they not written in the book of Chronicles, the king of Israel? This is the word of the Lord which he spoke to Jehu, saying, your sons to the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel, and so it was. Shalom, son of Jabesh, became king in the 39th year of Uzziah, king of Judah, and he reigned 1 month in Samaria. By the way, the reign of Uzziah was a long reign. It was longer than most. Lord had blessed him, even though he had issues. Then Menahem, son of Gadi, went up from Tirzah, which is where Elijah was from, and came to Samaria and struck Shalom, son of Jabesh, in Samaria and killed him and came in his place. People are killing people left and right. Now the rest of the acts of Shalom and his conspiracies which he made, behold, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Then Menahem struck Tishba and all who were in it and its borders from Tirzah, because they did not open to him. Therefore he struck it and ripped up all of its women who were with child. The things are degrading very fast. They're fighting, they're killing people in their own country. These are towns that didn't support him when he went up and killed the king. And this is, it's the ultimate insult. I need not explain to you how horrific that is. In the 39th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Menahem, son of Gadi, became king over Israel and reigned 10 years in Samaria. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart all of his days from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. Pul, king of Assyria, now it gets interesting, came against the land. And Menahem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver, which I think comes out to about 37 tons, so that his hand might be with him to strengthen the kingdom under his rule. Pul was the Babylonian name for Tiglath-Pileser III, who we will hear a lot of. It's the same person. It's the Babylonian name for the same king, and he's a player in Israel. Him and Sargon after him are the Assyrian kings that have a lot of impact as far as the dispersion being taken away. He was a king in Assyria from 745 to 722, and he invaded Israel in 743, so 2 years after he got in. So this guy makes Assyria is rising. They are the big stick. Nobody can really mess with them. So this king in Israel says, well, it's just best to be on his side. So he not only stops him from attacking, he basically makes an ally of him, which didn't last at all. You know, you can't really pay these guys off. And just, I have it somewhere. I have a map. For those of you who are listening on the internet, the map looks like this. Pass that around. This is the Assyrian Empire. And the line I drew was from Jerusalem up to where the Israelites were exiled to. You will see a town right below it called Nineveh. That's where Jonah went in the Assyrian. And this is right around this time, by the way. This is where they're taken to. The Assyrian Empire is huge. It runs from Turkey into Egypt all the way over into Iraq and Iran. So pass that around, just to give you an idea. I also have a map somewhere of all the kingdoms that come after. The Assyrian, the Babylonian, the Persian, and the Greek. Or the Medes is the best one, but I guess we would call them the Greeks. But I guess there's a difference between the Greeks and the Medes. But I have that somewhere. And I find it, I'll pass it. Anyway, back to, that's going to matter because that's where they're going. And then, Pekahiah, his son, became king in his place. In the 15th year of Azariah, Pekahiah, son of Menahem, became king over Israel and Samaria and reigned 2 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, surprise, surprise, and did not depart from the sins of... Oh, I missed 20. That's kind of interesting. Where he got this silver from. Then Menahem exacted the money from Israel, even from all the mighty men of wealth, from each man 50 shekels of silver to pay the king of Assyria. It would have 50 shekels is 20 ounces. To add that up, he would have to take 20 ounces of silver from 60,000 men. That's a tax on 60,000 men of 20 ounces. So the king of Assyria returned and did not remain in the land. Okay. That's just how he paid for it. Then Pekah, the son of Remaliah, his officer, conspired against him. You notice this isn't going well. This is just degrading into... There is no sense of who's in charge. There is no sense of a family of these are the people who should be king. This is just whoever kills somebody else gets to be king. Conspired against him and struck him in Samaria in the castle of the king's house with Argob and Arai. And with him were 50 men of the Gileadites, and he killed him and became king in his place. The rest of the acts of Pekahiah and all he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Israel. In the 52nd year of Azariah, which Azariah is watching a lot of this happen up there in Israel. I mean, a lot of people have been killed, there have been a lot of coups, and he's still chugging along down there doing pretty well. Pekah, the son of Remaliah, became king over Israel and reigned for 20 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam. I don't know how many times this phrase is in the Bible. The son of Nebat, and he made Israel sin. in the days of Pekah, king of Israel, Tiglath-Pileser, who I just said, the same guy that was called Pul, king of Syria, came and captured Ijon and Abel-Beth-Makkah. We had that was from all the way back in 1 Kings, and Jonai and Kedesh and Hazor and Gilead and Galilee and the land of Naphtali, and he carried away the captives to Assyria. He carried away the captives to Assyria. This is the first grab of people in mass taken away up to there. And Hoshea, the son of Elah, made a conspiracy against Pekah, and the son of Remaliah, and struck him and put him to death and became king in his place in the 20th year of Jotham, son of Uzziah. So when the next king of Israel comes in through subterfuge, Uzziah is no longer on the throne, Jotham is. Now the rest of the acts of Pekah and all the other, behold, are not written in the book of Chronicles of the king of Israel. The second year of Pekah, the son of Ramah, the king of Israel, Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Israel, became king. Now, I'm not sure if they're saying he was a co-regent or Uzziah had died. It doesn't say that. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 16 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and he did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. Only the high places were not taken down, and the people still sacrificed and burned incenses on the high places. He built the upper gate of the house of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Judah? In those days the Lord began, this is interesting, in those days the Lord began to send Rezin, king of Aram, which is Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, against Judah. So in these days, not only is Syria bothering Judah, but Israel is too. So there's these problems. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and he was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Asa, his son, became king in his place. We'll go a couple into this because it gets kind of interesting. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Asa, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, became king. Asa was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord God, as his father David had done. His contemporary prophets are Isaiah and Micah. So when this guy comes in, when you read the writings of Isaiah and Micah, this is what's happening. Now, there's a reason that the Lord riled up Israel and Syria, because this guy's coming and he's evil. But he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. Now, if you've been following, you have noticed that the kings in the south are generally, in Judah, are generally pretty spiritual guys. They know who the Lord is, they respect the Lord, and they serve the Lord. The kings in the north aren't doing well. There's, you know, the best is he kind of did okay. The rest were just plain outright evil. This guy, of his own volition, just pretty much accepts the north way of doing things. And he even made his son pass through the fire. This is getting pretty bad. There's a lot, we've talked about that before, I have some stuff. According to the abominations of the nations which the Lord had driven up before the sons of Israel. This is what the Philistines were doing. This was that sort of thing. Leviticus 18:21, you shall not give any of your offspring to offer them to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of the Lord your God. Ezekiel, after this, wrote, moreover, you took your sons and daughters whom had borne to me and sacrificed them to idols to be devoured. Were your harlotry so small a matter? You slaughtered my children and offered them up to idols by causing them to pass through fire. This guy wasn't just bad. This guy was like quantumly bad. And there wasn't anything he wasn't doing. He just... The warning when they went into the promised land was don't do what these guys are doing. The reason I'm giving you the land is because they're doing this stuff. So if you go in and do this stuff, I'll give it to someone else. Lo and behold, it's what's happening. He sacrificed and burned incenses on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Other kings of Judah had tolerated this. Uzzah embraced it. Solomon was the last guy. Remember, this is what got Solomon in trouble. He was the last king to do this. All the other kings of Judah had said he didn't tear them down. This one says he went and did it. Anywhere there was a tree, anywhere, this guy was just sacrificing stuff everywhere. You know, hey, look, there's a bush. Let's go sacrifice some. He is attacking the importance of the temple. Don't forget that. And God with it. Then Rezin, king of Aram, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war, and they besieged Asa, but could not overcome him. it suggested that they attacked Asa in order to get Judah to join them against the Syrians, which is interesting. What they're trying to do, why these two came down to get him, the theory is because they knew that the two of them together weren't strong enough. Judah wouldn't join them in the fight. It's almost like, remember when they did the end around Israel with Jehoshaphat, and they went through and the king of Edom went with them? We kind of had to go with them because they had defeated them. This is the same thing. They want to defeat Judah, but use Judah to fight Assyria, which it wouldn't have mattered. Assyria is just too big, too bad. 2 Chronicles 28, 1 through 15 says this about this. Ahaziah was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He did not do right in the sight of the Lord, as David his father had done. He walked in the way of the king of Israel, and also made molten images for Baal, which is what the other didn't tell us. Moreover, he burned incense in the valley of Ben-Hinoam, and burned his sons in fire, according to the abominations of the nations. Now, this burning in fire, walk through the fire, that could mean two things. It could mean sacrificing in fire. There was also a ritual where they, as children, they would walk. There would be a fire here, a fire there, and they walked between them. It wasn't, it was like baptism for these gods. But this says he burned them with fire, which is a little stronger. Not sure which it is. It really doesn't matter. Either one is an absolute abomination. He sacrificed and burned incense in the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Wherefore, the Lord his God delivered him into the hands of the king of Aram, and defeated him, which is the same place as Syria. And they defeated him and carried him away with a great number of captives, and brought them to Damascus. And he was also delivered into the hands of the king of Israel, who inflicted him with heavy casualties. For Pekah, the son of Remaliah, slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers. And Zichri, the mighty man of Ephraim, slew Messiah, the king's son, and Azaram, whoever that is, the ruler of the house of Eklon, the second to the king. So they got wiped out. Not only did the king of Syria come down and take a lot of people from Judah back and kept them, but Israel came down and punished them. And an evil king, both two evil kings. The sons of Israel carried away captive the brethren, 200,000 women. Well, that's sort of its own curse. And sons and daughters, and they took also great deals of spoils with them and brought the spoils to Samaria. So Israel takes 200,000 women and children back up to Israel from Judah. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded, and he went out and met the army which came to Samaria and said to them. Now, this is a very brave thing to do. They just went down, they won the battle, and part of the spoils of war are this. It was the same thing that Saul faced when he said, "Why do I hear cows?" And he said, "Well, the people, you know, these guys just fought. They expect to get something. You know, I was afraid to tell them not to do it." So this prophet of the Lord, which there can't be many of them up in Israel, meets this evil king from Israel who's bringing up these people from Judah and stands in front of the army and says this: "Behold, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, was angry with Judah, he delivered them into your hands, and you have slain them in a rage which has reached heaven. Now, you are proposing to subjugate for yourselves the people of Judah and Jerusalem for male and female slaves. Surely, do you not have transgressions of your own against the Lord your God?" See, nobody in Israel was allowed to make a slave out of anybody else in Israel, let alone take them out of their land and their property. And he says something really cool. You're trying to punish them. Be aware, don't you have enough sins of your own? What he's saying is, do you want to get the attention of God? The God who got the attention of Judah, and you just went down and whooped them because they did evil. Don't you have enough issues? Shouldn't you just be really quiet right now? Like whistle and walk away that you won? Why would you do this? "Now therefore, listen to me and return the captives whom you've taken from your brothers, for the burning anger of the Lord is against you." And some of the heads of the sons of Ephraim, Azariah the son of Jotham, and it just names all those guys, arose against those who were coming from the battle and said to them, "You must not bring the captives in here, for you are proposing to bring upon us guilt against the Lord, abiding in our sins and our guilt, for our guilt is great, so he is burning anger against Israel." So, in this moment, these elders of these tribes You know when I read that Isaiah part where he says, I will keep a tenth? There are still people in Israel who fear the Lord, who listen to what a prophet has to say and are man enough to stand up in front of an army and say, don't do this, send them back. They're there. And it's amazing that Israel is being more spiritual than Judah. And how quickly spiritual decay happens. It takes decades to build that spiritual foundation, and it falls in a moment. I mean, it's incredible. And it says, you must have been, he said, adding to our sins. Okay, so the armed men left the captives and the spoils before the officers and all the assemblies. Then the men who were designated by name arose, took the captives, and they clothed all their naked ones from the spoils, and gave them clothes and sandals, and fed them, gave them drink, anointed them with oil, led all their feeble ones on donkeys, and brought them to Jericho, the city of palms, to their brothers. Then they returned to Samaria. In the middle of this horror of a nation destroying itself because of the great evil that they're doing, a prophet of the Lord stands up and says, it just tells them the truth, and somebody hears the truth. Somebody who had enough clout to talk to the people and enough, man, this takes some gumption, man. These guys earned this, and they fought in battle, and he says, no, you didn't. God did this, and unless you want to face the exact same thing. And they listened. Maybe the last time Israel does something really cool. It's maybe the last time, but if you will remember Isaiah, there are still people there that know who the Lord is, and there always will be. We'll leave there, and let's pray. Father, we come before you, and we just ask that these lessons find a home. And when they find a home, they change us, and when they change us, we can be used for your kingdom and for this world. Watch over my brothers and sisters. Make them strong, wise, brave, and compassionate. Help them to glorify your name in what they think, do, and say. In Jesus' name, amen.